Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Mood with Lauren Elizabeth. I'm Lauren Elizabeth, and today I am joined for our current mood combo with Leah McSweeney from The Real Housewives of New York City. She's also a fashion industry pioneer, entrepreneur, and mom. And in her new book, Leah McSweeney breaks through the chaos of battling addiction, igniting the streetwear world, and disrupting reality television, all while being unapologetically unrelentingly herself. So we are going to talk to Leah about her new book, Chaos Theory. We're going to talk about her younger years, her older years, and also being in the public eye, but really just talking about mental health and sharing it online, being a mom, just all the changes you go through, and a little bit of Bravo if you're into that sort of thing. But before we dive in, let's jump into best mood and worst mood of the week. So my best mood of the week is I truly feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. Like, we always talk about these like transitional phases and change. And like, although like I've been in one for a very long time and I'm obviously still kind of in one, I feel like obviously I've trusted the process. I've been very patient. I always say that like I'm being led. God has a plan for me. And so I've been doing a really good job, like especially as of late, just kind of like not freaking out about all of the decisions I have to make and the changes I have to make in regards to like, where do I want to live? What do I want to do with my life? Just like classic adult things that we all go through. And so I've been kind of like, obviously they're like in my head and on my mind, like in my chest with anxiety sometimes, but I've really just kind of like trusted and just taken everything one step at a time. But obviously there comes a time where like you do have to make decisions, right? And I feel like I made some decisions after feeling like I was being led and really just feeling like the timing was presented to me and for me, instead of like making this like crazy decision, whatever, about like where I want to live, all that stuff like I just said. And I truly feel like a weight has just been lifted off my shoulders now that I kind of know a little bit more information. Like, it's like, I feel like I can breathe and like relax, and it's not this kind of like impending doom of like, oh, you're gonna have to make a decision soon. Like, the decision's just over. And also just kind of like speaking my truth and how I feel, like all that kind of stuff, whether it's to friends and family, relationships, whatever it is. Like, I feel like as women, we don't want to kind of cause a ruckus and be a burden and like interrupt anyone's lives, make anyone unhappy. Like, we want to be nice and we want to be people pleasers sometimes. And so I feel like just like speaking my mind and like putting myself first and then like making decisions, the weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And it's just such a nice feeling knowing that like I don't have these like things in the back of my head that I have to decide about being an adult. You know, it's like, obviously you have to be patient and you don't want to make like irrational decisions. But once you do, like, just confidently decide. And I think the reason I was so able to confidently decide kind of like the next like little bit of chapter of my life is because I was patient and I did trust, you know, my higher power and kind of like experience things and take things one step at a time. I wasn't too hard on myself. I didn't put pressure on myself. Like, it wasn't like that, right? But it still kind of bottles up and it's still kind of, you know, is pent up inside. So weight lifted off shoulders. I promise you, as much as like all of these things in your head, all of these decisions, all of these responsibilities, whatever it is, I promise you that like, even if the decision is hard, and even if the decision is scary, and even if what you have to do requires change and is just anxiety inducing, doing it and executing it, like getting that weight lifted off your shoulders, like literally the physical anxiety lifted off your chest, is such a freaking best mood that even though it's scary, it's gonna be worth it. And I did see a lot of like stuff this week too, which was interesting too, is like usually like change comes from a place of like you lose something or things are different and it's scary, but like all good things come out of bad things. And not necessarily that anything was bad in my life currently. It has been in the past. I think it's just a reminder that although like change is scary and like making decisions that require transition and, you know, switching things up, all really great things come out of those scary things. And then my worst mood is that like, obviously it's still fucking emotionally exhausting. Like, you know, I talked to my friends on Friday and I told them my decisions and just kind of my next steps and all the things that have been stressing me out and what I'm going to do next. And they were like, well, this is all great. Like, you don't seem like excited or like happy. And I was just like, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm just emotionally exhausted, because even though it's all like, you know, change can be good and I did everything that I just explained in my best mood, it's still, like I said, has been pent up, right? It's been inside my body, inside my mind. And so it's kind of like almost like this release of all this like energy and pent up emotion and everything. So it still like kind of takes a toll on your mind and body, even though it's a good thing. It's still just like tiring, because it's not like, oh, I just made a snap decision. Like, this has all been kind of boiling to the surface for a long time. And now that it's released, it's like very exhausting for the mind and body. And so I was still happy and it was still a best mood, but I was definitely very, very tired. And that's what happens when we let things build up. And, you know, even though we take good care of ourselves in the meantime, like, you know, our emotions still really are physical and affect our bodies. And it just kind of is almost like that numbing feeling of like, okay, I've like had all of these emotions and all of these moods, and now I'm just like blah. But I still ended up having a great time with my friends and having a good weekend and feeling confident, but, you know, making the decision. And I'm not saying like I haven't like second guessed myself or like had little moments of anxiety with it. It's just more so that since the weight is lifted, that's the best mood I took from it. Not that I'm like, oh my God, jumping up and down, happy go lucky, everything's worked out. Like, transition and change is still fucking scary. But having that weight lifted off, at least knowing you're making a decision, it doesn't mean I'm making the right decision, because there is no right and wrong, right? It's just action. And then the next right action and the next right action. And so, yes, I was a little bit emotionally exhausted. It was tough. It was a lot to kind of like take in, realizing that I had to kind of like make decisions for my personal life about where I want to live, what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. You know, being in your 20s is freaking hard. But finding the best mood in it, you guys, is worth it. And of course, if you're having trouble finding your best mood in it, that's when you turn to your mood boosters. You want to boost your mood. Before we talk about mood boosters, let's talk about a consistent mood booster. It's fine jewelry. And I'm sorry, like, I'm not going to change who I am. I've like definitely changed a lot about like what I value. But like, jewelry is like always going to be something I value. Okay. Mejuri makes fine jewelry for every day, if you didn't know. And why I love them so much is they have new limited edition drops every Monday instead of seasonal releases like more traditional retailers, which means that there's always new things for me to look at and there's always money for me to spend and then have to like pay off my credit card. Okay. Anyway, it's not that stressful though, you guys, because it's minus the traditional 10 times markup. I was just being silly nilly. Fresh new picks at fair prices every week for every style. Their pieces are fairly priced. They're handcrafted. They're ethically sourced and made to last. I'm serious, you guys. They have something for every budget and everyone, including women's, men's, and unisex pieces. And honestly, it just goes without saying that fine jewelry is for everyone. Their 14 solid gold staples don't wear out or scratch easily because 14 karat is actually much more durable than 18 karat gold. And you guys know that I hate taking my jewelry off. I'm just lazy. I want to sweat. I want to shower. And so that's why they're perfect gifts for people like me who don't want to take it off. And just anyone with an active lifestyle. They also have freshwater pearls, which, by the way, always come back in season in spring and summer. So with your little bikini, get your freshwater pearls and you're going to want to go in the pool. So you're going to want it to not like be crappy jewelry, okay? And of course, they're responsibly sourced diamonds, and they have milestone pieces as well for if you're going through a milestone. You guys, there's no excuse for every day, every occasion, just because, birthdays, a new job, engagement, mostly just because for me. If you need help deciding what to gift, try virtual shopping, live chat with Mejuri stylist one-on-one for any questions you might have, like what's my style, what's a good piece for my lifestyle, how does a piece work with something I already have, they got you. So visit Mejuri.com and use code MOOD for 10% off your first order. That's Mejuri.com, code MOOD for 10% off your first order. So I know I talked a little bit about this last week, but one of my mood boosters is the Peloton because I'm being consistent with it. So I've done it a few times, and I have to say, like last week I talked to you guys about it, I'm pretty sure, and it was just like my first ride, and I was like, ooh, fun, yeah. But now, like, it's kind of just like a fun thing that I like to add in throughout the week, and I don't do anything like crazy with it, but it really, the reason I love it is because obviously it's like challenging, it's fun, but it makes me sweat so much. And I feel like sometimes you just have to like switch up your workouts, because if things are repetitive, like having a consistent routine is great. The routine is working out. That doesn't mean you do have to do the same thing within your workout every single time, right? So I think switching it up is really good for your brain. It like requires like a different type of focus because you're trying something new. And I really like the Peloton because of the music and just kind of like the interactiveness of the screen. At first, I wasn't really sure if I liked the interactiveness of the screen. I still kind of think I like SoulCycle a little bit better, but being able to just like walk down to the gym and sweat that much is such a freaking mood booster, because especially like on a Monday after you've just had like a wild weekend and you just feel like you're sweating out every single thing you did as a feral rat over the weekend. Hey, it's like, it's the season, guys. You gotta do what you gotta do, and it's called balance. So that, and then also I realized last night that one of my mood boosters has been this like clean apartment vibe, but in a sense, because you guys know I'm a clean freak, like I hate having things and mess and whatever, because there's so much chaos in my brain. I can't have chaos physically around me. It needs to be clean and pretty. And also the action of cleaning is like really good for my mental health. But I noticed that like I had people over, I told you guys a few weeks ago that I had them over, the girls, and I like hosted, and I had, you know, my apartment decorated and everything. And when I did that, I wanted it to be like, that's when I get like super OCD and like super, oh my God, I want everything to look perfect and I want to be a great host and blah, blah, blah. And it's whatever. It's fun to do, and it's also fun for the girls. And I cleaned off like all my counters and kind of just like put everything away. And I just forget how much I love a freaking clean countertop. It is a mood booster. I was going to bed last night and I was like, what looks different? Like what feels like? I just had this feeling of mood boostness. And I realized it's because all my countertops are so clean because like I put everything away. So my tip for you this week is to like look at your countertops like in your kitchen, in like your kitchen island, your bathroom, like all that stuff. Like I will say my bathroom, the counters are not clean right now and I hate it. Like I literally hate it. I look at it, I think about how I hate it, and then I don't do anything about it right now because I don't feel like it. So that's why I think that this is our sign to like clean off your motherfucking countertops. Trust me, okay? Whether you need to toss things in the garbage, figure out a new organizational system, or if you know what, for now, shove it in the pantry. Shove it in the cupboard. What's a fucking cupboard? I'm just telling you, when you look around and you see these clean countertops, like I'm looking at them right now and it's just like, oh my God, it's like, look at her. Like, is she Martha Stewart? Is she Oprah? Or is she just a girl with anxiety and put things in the, what the fuck is it called? Not a drawer, a cabinet, a cabinet. My next mood booster is incense. So I'm laughing because I made a little flub, but we edited it out because we can't have that on the pod. Okay. The incense that I like, I just got this in, no, I didn't. I got it back when I was in California, but for some reason I was looking, I was like, oh, like maybe I'll light some. And I guess I didn't open this one, but I thought I did, but I had to cut it off. Oh, maybe it came with two packs. Okay, whatever. So it smells amazing. It is one of my favorite candle companies, and it's called P.F. Candle Co. I will link it on the at Mood with Lauren Elizabeth Instagram, and this is my favorite scent by them. I have like their car diffuser, I have this candle, and what by have I mean like I have had, because I don't own those things right now because I just burned through them or use them. This is number 4, teakwood and tobacco. Oh my God, you guys, this is the sexiest motherfucking scent in the world. And like the thing you get with this, and not not the candle is that like smokiness, because it's like the stick is burning, you know, so like it's kind of like smoky, you know. Wow, I literally was so motherfucking mood boosted with it on my clean countertops, my clean apartment. I was getting in bed last night and it was almost out, and so I lit another one in my bedroom because I was like, ooh, like, yeah, like, cool, whatever. Okay, that was great. And so the other thing I did is, if you don't have an incense holder, this is my little hack for you, because I don't know where mine went. And also, like, we like clean countertops, right? And so I'm pretty sure like my incense holder, or maybe I actually do know where it is. I think it's in that drawer, but I took it off the countertop because like I hate things on countertops, right? So before this podcast, I didn't have the revelation that it was in the drawer, and I have like an almost empty candle. So like obviously there's still some wax on it. And I honestly think this is more genius than an incense holder, because I stuck the incense, and I feel like someone's going to DM me and be like, this is going to cause a fire. Well, we've been there, done that. But let me know. I mean, I feel like it doesn't, because like the wick burns inside the candle, whatever. So you stick it in the wax, okay? And then you light it and it burns down and it all drops down into your like candle thingy, like the actual glass of the candle. And it's like the candle's almost out. And I don't really like burning the end of candles anymore, ever since I almost burned my apartment down. So I was like, wow, this is a fabulous way to reuse like the end of a candle. And if it's like a cute candle, then it's like sitting on your countertop and it looks cute and you can put incense in it. And I hate when incense causes a mess. I also have like a mini vacuum. And by mini, I mean like the size of like a coffee cup to like clean off countertops. Wow, this is a really countertop heavy episode. I will link the vacuum as well on Instagram, because I really think that you guys will enjoy this as much as I do. I clean the incense up off the countertop one time with it, and by one time I mean yesterday a little bit, because I touched it and it got everywhere. And then I blow dried my hair, and I'm a disgusting human being, so I used it in the bathroom countertop to just get all the hair off. I was like, I don't want to wipe it, I just want to like da 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 da. Okay. And my last mood booster is that it is May, which means it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And Mental Health Awareness Month is obviously something near and dear to my heart. And obviously, if you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you relate as well. And it's all about breaking the stigma and raising awareness for obviously people with mental health. This is not an ad. It's just obviously we talk about mental health at least once a week. And so it doesn't really feel like a hell of a lot different, but I do really think it's incredible always to see other people coming out in support of Mental Health Awareness Month, brands donating to funds for mental health awareness, just literally just seeing the awareness on Instagram, not just from like our community and other people with similar communities, is absolutely incredible. So we will be doing just kind of little things on Instagram for Mental Health Awareness Month. Okay. So one of the things we are going to be doing is actually on this podcast, we are going to do our first ever book club, and we are reading The Anatomy of Anxiety by Ellen Vora, MD. She's actually coming on the podcast at the end of the month as well. And what is so freaking crazy, because I thought of this idea after I recorded this episode, after I recorded this current mood convo, and I was sitting like a few days ago and I was like, oh, Leah McSweeney recommended me this book called The Anatomy of Anxiety. You'll hear her talk about it. And I was like, maybe we should do that like for a book club for mood, because like I want to read it anyway if it's like really that good. I literally Googled, I don't know how I realized it. I'm pretty sure I Googled it and I saw the author and I was like, wait a second, she's coming on the podcast in May. Like, it was just literally, I wish I could take credit for planning this so beautifully of like, oh my God, I planned this a month ago, I got the author on. So like, I didn't exactly do that, but God had a plan, and it was for us to read this book. And so it's all like so like crazy. Like, Leah talked about it, then I remembered it, then I realized she was coming on the podcast. So I'm really excited about it, because we've never really done a legitimate book club. And I will link it on Instagram as well, just in case you're in the car and you don't remember. But if Leah liked it, if it was meant to be, I really think we're all gonna like it. And I just love that we're doing something as a community. So that's a mood booster for me as well. And also, we will be dropping merch in May for Mental Health Awareness Month. It is coming soon. I will be teasing it on Instagram. It's my favorite drop yet. I think you guys are gonna fucking love it, I'm not gonna lie. So you know what? May. Break the stigma, baby. Go to therapy. You got this. Okay, if you get breakouts, you've probably tried a lot of treatments that haven't made the difference you're looking for. You may not want to take antibiotics, and you're probably disappointed with harsh teenage products. And finally, there's GladSkin, a solution that supports healthy, balanced skin. You guys know I'm always struggling with acne and keeping it clear. I've definitely had worse acne in the past, so keeping it clear, because I don't want to go back to that place, is important. But I still do get blemishes, and let me tell you, it's not a mood booster. GladSkin is a new category of skin blemish treatment that works differently than any plant-based or drug-based products you've tried before, because it's based on the nature of healthy skin. And inflammatory blemishes and acne-prone skin are caused by an imbalance in the skin microbiome. So this is kind of like up our mood boosty wellness alley, okay? They developed a revolutionary protein called microbalance to restore the natural balance of the good and bad bacteria on the skin. And so their blemish gel works without harsh ingredients and is gentle from day one. Their products have been helping people in Europe for years and are now available in the US. Plus there's a 60-day guarantee. And if you didn't know, like, everything in Europe is like always better. Like, they just like know things, especially ingredients. So just saying. Right now, GladSkin is offering my listeners 15% off plus free shipping on your first order at gladskin.com/mood. That's gladskin.com/mood for 15% off plus free shipping, gladskin.com/mood. Okay, you guys, let's just have a quick casual girl chat with our girl, Leah McSweeney, one of my favorite Real Housewives and just real human fucking beings. So welcome, Leah.
Usually, you know, people are very open about mental health in kind of like a more self-care way. And so I definitely vibe and appreciate more of your, like, being extremely open with your mental health ups and downs.
Yeah, because people try to make it look pretty or something. Because, you know, if you talk about it on Instagram, or it's hard to be real about shit sometimes, you know? And who wants to let people know that they're, like, suffering? Like, obviously some people do that in, like, an annoying way too, because you can tell they're just, like, seeking attention. But, like, no one wants to, like, I worry that people will judge me or be like, oh, maybe, like, she can't handle this, or she, like, you know, we can't give her this job because she's, like, fragile and she's gonna fall apart. Like, but then I'm like, you know what? Other people are going through this too. You know, they just aren't talking about it and probably feel ashamed to talk about it. And there's no way that we're actually going to break the stigma around mental health unless we talk about it in a more real way.
100%. I mean, have you found that obviously by sharing stuff on the show that, you know, there's obviously going to be so many people talking with opinions because it's such a big platform, but did you at least find that a lot of people were able to connect with that part of your quote unquote character on the show?
Yeah. That was actually kind of like one of the best parts about being on the show, is that people are like, I totally identify with you. Like, you're like my spirit animal, or like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I deal with depression also, or like when I drink, I go crazy, you know, or people that are sober. That's like the best part.
I mean, that was obviously why you were everyone's favorite, like, newcomer ever. It was just like the biggest breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
And now you just released your first book. Yeah. Called Chaos Theory. And is there like a, you know, I've only been able to go through some of it, but is there like a definition of chaos theory by you?
Well, there's an, you know, there's the technological, like, scientific term of, you know, there being like order in disorder, you know?
Mm.
And I just connected it to my life in a way, you know, like, the butterfly effects, right? Like a butterfly, the flap of a butterfly's wing can like cause a hurricane. Like, that's, you know, that's one of the chapters in the book too. It's just like this one little decision or like moment that you didn't see coming changes your path completely.
Was that what it was like for you when you figured out you were pregnant in your 20s? Was that planned or no?
No, that was not planned at all. I always wanted kids and I always wanted to be a mom. Like, ever since I was like little, I wanted to be a mom, even though I was like deathly scared of like having childbirth, because my mom had some weird childbirth book in our house with like really graphic photos. And I remember being like, ow, how am I going to do that? You know, but I always wanted to be a mom, but I definitely was not like planning that at all. I'm pretty sure Kier was conceived during Fashion Week when I was like very intoxicated, like at this Colette party afterwards with Rob, but obviously with Rob. But I think with Rob.
Maybe.
Probably, most likely Rob. They do look alike. And but it was like obviously the best, like, thank you, universe. Like, thank you, me having unprotected sex. Like, what would my life be without here. Like, it would be pointless. Like, that's how I feel, you know? And being a mom has changed me for the better, for sure.
Well, isn't it so interesting that, like, we try so hard to be perfect, and then the things we fuck up ultimately turn out to be either the biggest lessons or the biggest blessings? Like, truly.
Exactly. That's exactly kind of what the book is about. I mean, I talk also about me getting thrown out of my house, like my parents not letting me come back, and me seeing that as a negative thing for so many years and like holding it against them, and just feeling I still have like really crazy dreams where like I don't have a place to live and I'm like going from, but anyway, it's like deep in my inner psyche, but it was such a good thing because first of all, it probably saved my life. It put me on a path that led me back to New York City, and which is where I met Rob.
So was the show helpful in a way for all of your relationships, like with your mom, with Rob, or was the healing kind of already happening, you know, in your late 20s, early 30s?
It's funny that you asked that. I think when I got sober and when I was 27, the healing started, but it wasn't, I mean, there was still many years where me and my mom were battling, you know, like big time. Like I stopped going there for Christmas. I stopped celebrating Christmas. I would like take my daughter and go to Jamaica alone because like the holidays were too stressful. I'm obviously Jewish now, so it makes perfect sense that I didn't even want to celebrate Christmas at all. But the show and my grandmother dying, I think the last couple years, and also seeing like my behavior, like being able to watch myself on TV and like watch my interactions with my mom. Not like she's always like, you know, the best to me, but like she's like got her own stuff. But my grandmother dying and like seeing, you know, and in the book I talk about the last time I saw my grandmother was I walked into her bedroom and my mom was in the bedroom and my mom was crying saying, I don't want to live without you. Like, I don't want you to go. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and then I held my mom and my grandmother was like, you have Leah. Like now you have to be the matriarch, you know, shh, Ruby, shh. That's when I was like, you know, now my grandmother's gone. The thing my grandmother wanted most was me and my mother to get along. My dog is crazy.
You're fine.
So I'm committed to like, me and my mom have been getting along great. She even came to LA with me when I had to go to Barnes & Noble's. We went to Runyon and we walked and we talked about my grandmother and like had a moment and cried. And we're both grieving her still, you know, and like we have that in common and it kind of, that pain kind of has brought us closer together.
Yeah, definitely. I think that like when I was reading some of your stuff too, I was just like, how does someone tangibly take tips and tricks away from this of like, well, go on a reality show and like maybe that'll fix your relationship with your mom.
If you let it, it can. Not everyone's gonna want, you know, do it. And I mean, obviously some of the women's lives like blow up in their faces, you know. I think that if you have good intentions and you're like a self-reflective person, like you can watch it and use it to better yourself, even though it's a stressful job. But you can try to get that out of it if you let it.
Yeah, I mean, I literally can't imagine. I feel like at least with the book, you had kind of control of how you are telling your story. So was that process for you? I mean, I can't even imagine like fitting your entire life into this book.
I know.
Like between like the emotional and then just actually having control and power of telling your story. Like, what was that process of getting it all on paper for you?
So I've been saying this a lot because people don't realize that, like, there are a lot of stories I didn't put in there. Because, like, not everything is for public consumption, you know what I mean? And some things I have to keep to myself. And, you know, I've talked before openly, like on my podcast that I used to have, like about like my sexual assault. I chose not to put it in the book because I did not want it to be a headline in the press. Like I just did not. And I knew it was going to be. And I just was like, I don't need to put that in the book. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't important enough. It wasn't like, it didn't like deserve it, you know?
Totally.
And there's other stuff, but it's like, I also, and there's a lot of obviously drug stories and war stories, you know what I mean? But I didn't want to like glamorize doing drugs and like that lifestyle that I had. I wanted to try to be reflective and talk about what I learned from, you know, that experience. But it's definitely, Yeah. I mean, I keep saying the next book I want to write is just going to take place between like 1996 and 2000, or maybe like 2001. And the ending will be like 9/11. And like the beginning will be like my first rave or something. And it'll just be the drug stories.
Like, oh my God.
Because that would be a killer fucking movie. I swear to God. But yeah, it's like, it's an emotional process too. It's emotional. Way more emotional than I expected.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know why, whenever I always praise people when they like summarize their childhood and all that stuff so well, because I feel like when you go through trauma, your body like and brain just protect you from it so that you can survive as an adult. Yeah. And then I read other people's and I'm like, how did they like remember all of this? Like put pen to paper.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
I mean, it's probably why I'm searching for new antidepressants.
Writing the book, pretty much.
Honestly, it was kind of like a rebirth. It was kind of like an awakening. And I think like the closer I got to like the launch, the more anxiety I felt. Because I was like, oh my God, now I'm putting all of this out there. Like no one, like the public didn't know I had like a crystal meth addiction. You know what I mean? Like the public didn't know like that cure was unexpected. You know, like there's a lot in there that's still very personal that people could judge me on, and no one likes being judged. I mean, I'm used to it now at this point being on the show. Yeah, I think the closer I got, the more I was like, oh my God, need more meds.
I mean, I will say it was like so annoying because I was just trying to like Google things about the book, and you're right. Every headline is like, Leah thinks she could have died from an overdose. And I'm like,
it's so...
Okay, no, can you like give me like something else?
I know, it's so... you know, salacious. It's everything is so clickbaity.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, let's talk about mental health, not crystal meth.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be the title of this podcast. Don't worry. No, just kidding. But I do. I find it so inspiring that you're able to kind of like admit your dark moments and like also kind of still admit that you're struggling, because a lot of times when someone's finished writing a book and like coming of all this success, it's like, okay, like story's over, I'm perfect now.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I'm still fucked up. This isn't a victory lap. You know, it's really funny because when I went on the Morning Toast, Claudia asked me like what the recent, most recent book I read was. And I told her I read The Anatomy of Anxiety. And she's like, whoa, dark. And I'm like, no, that's not dark. Like, what? Like, it's so cool. It's so helpful. I'm like, I have so many like self-help books, you know, like not that I've read all of them. And I do tend to think that a lot of like self-help gurus are like totally full of shit, but this woman is a doctor and she's incredible. But you know, there's so many people out there that are like motivational speakers and shit. You're just like, this is just a gimmick.
Well, I do feel like you have like good nuggets in the book though. Like,
yeah,
just like little like lines and kind of like acceptance and stuff. And I definitely see like a lot of the 12-step program like reflected in a lot of it too, which I just think is, I don't know, I feel like any way someone can consume that information somehow, I just think it's like, I think it should be a required program for human beings.
Same.
But
same, it would be, everyone would be so much like happier.
It like, yeah, if people just knew like how to find their part in a resentment and make amends. I'm just like,
I'm doing my fourth step right now. It's funny that you talk about
Woof.
Quick break to talk to you guys about BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, undereating, and overeating. You guys know I'm a stressor, and it can be a daily thing. And when it affects me physically, that's the worst. That's the worst. Like, I literally hate it. I bite my cheeks. I pick my nails. I pick my lips. And that's just a couple things. You know what I mean? But being able to take care of my stress and anxiety with other tools helps with that, because stress shows up in all kinds of ways. And in a world that's telling you to do more and sleep less and just like grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy like me. I wouldn't be able to survive without therapy. Like, legitimately, I don't even want to know where I would be. It's the best part of my week every week, and I cannot recommend it enough, and I won't stop. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, so give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Mood listeners also get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/mood. That's BETTERHELP.com/mood. Back to the podcast.
Well, you also just converted to Judaism. I mean, tell me about that, because we talk a lot about faith and spirituality on the podcast. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe in today's climate, like, weird to talk about religion for some people. And I love how you've just like been so open with your journey, and especially like later in life converting. It's not as common, obviously, yeah, because people usually lose touch with that. So what was your like journey with that?
So my journey, which I do detail in the book as well, you know, I've always kind of, even when I was a teenager and I was taking acid and doing all sorts of other things, I felt connected to something else. Like, because obviously there's a lot of, you know, people use psychedelics to get in touch with that, whatever part of your brain or universe. And so I grew up going to Catholic school, and I liked the idea of God. I believed in God. I never had a problem with God. I wasn't like a traumatized Catholic person, you know? I just didn't believe the Jesus part of it, like, ever. I was like, okay, God, I believe, but, like, I just don't believe in, like, this other part that I'm learning. And I remember trying to, like, ask my mom and, like, her best friend, who's a priest, like, how do you guys know? How do you guys, like, know for sure that this is it, that you're right? And they're like, oh, of course, that's what it is. And I'm like, no one can ever be sure. And the part about Judaism that I love is that I'm allowed to still feel like some days I'm like, is there a God? I don't know. Maybe there isn't. Mm-hmm. And like, that's allowed in Judaism, or at least my rabbi said so, you know, because I question everything. And some days I'm like, you know, what is the meaning of all of this? And then when I'm in a better spiritual place, like, I feel very connected. And, you know, it's just like, I can't, it's too depressing to think that there isn't a God. And I'm not even saying that there's an afterlife, because I don't really believe in an afterlife, but like, it would be too, there's so much pain and suffering in this world. There has to be like something bigger than us, you know, there has to be. And it just, you know, I think praying, and even if there is no God, praying and believing that there is one is just an easier way. So
totally.
So who cares?
You know? So when you converted, does your daughter still celebrate Christmas, or does she do Shabbat with you now?
Oh my God. You know what? She invited three of her friends over for Passover. And I had the Seder, and it was, like, so cool, and it was such a special night, and I loved it, you know? And me and Kiki, we've been going to Jamaica for Christmas every year for the last, like, 10 years or something. So, you know, this year I didn't have a Christmas tree, but only because, like, I just didn't feel like doing one. But I think I'm still going to do a Christmas tree for her, and, like, I spoke to my rabbi about it, like, the thing is, like, he wasn't worried about my daughter not being Jewish. It's more like if a child was converting and the parent wasn't. Because then how is the parent going to raise the child, you know? But my daughter's on her own path. And I don't know where spiritually she's going to, you know. I think she believes in God and stuff. And I think she respects me, you know, converting. And she knows that I put a lot of work into it and everything. So she's cool with it. She's good. She's a good kid.
How is she cool with the book as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's just like, you know what? She doesn't even think twice about the show or the book or whatever. She's just like, you're my mom, and that's it. And that's cool.
Yeah, I feel like I would be like that, which is funny, by the way. My mom's name is Kiki.
No way.
And so whenever you say Kiki, I'm like, wait, hold on.
That's so funny. I love that.
And it's like the opposite, because my Kiki is my mom that had me in her young 20s. And then your Kiki is your daughter from your young
20s. I love that.
Yeah. And I'm like trying to think. I'm like, if my mom wrote all this stuff in a book, the best is that I don't believe her about anything. I'm like, oh, yeah, it wasn't a mistake. Sure, Kiki. So, like, at least, like, you put it all out there and she believes you.
Yeah, I read Kiki, that part in the book where I talk about how it was unexpected. I read it out loud to her And then she like hugged me, you know, because obviously it's not like she feels like she's unwanted or was, you know, anything like that. Like we worship her, you know, she's like our queen pretty much. That's funny though, that your mom's name is Kiki.
You had to, tell her. I always say Selena Gomez was kind of an accident. Justin Bieber was kind of an accident. I was kind of an accident. Like, and look at us go.
And now Kiki.
I mean, Kiki's in the cool kids
she's
club.
She's in the cool kid club, for sure.
You're just, like, paving the way.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, now that you've learned from all this stuff, at least she can read about it and maybe I shouldn't do that.
I think she is like that. Because even like, my problematic personality traits... She's like, likes to remind me that she's not me. She is the best qualities of me and her dad. I mean, obviously I'm her parent, so I'm like, she's perfect. But
not every parents are good parents, but I think you've done an incredible job. And I think I love just the transparency you have with like your real life and your online life. Because a lot of times you can meet someone and they can be like totally not the person that is presented to the internet, obviously.
Right.
And it's kind of freaky. I mean, there's obviously a lot going on in Bravo right now. New shows, blah, blah, blah. I'm assuming you want to go back.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm curious from you, because, like, you're more of a new Bravo celebrity. Like, what do you hope to see just more, like, online with like celebrities and creators, and then also like on Bravo?
I mean, online, I'm so over online. Like, I'd like to see like every social media platform like combust and blow up. And I don't care, I'll make a lot less money because I make money on Instagram, obviously, YouTube, but like, I really feel like society would be better. I feel like it's really kind of ruining civilization. Like,
100%.
It's pretty bad. Like, we're on our phones so much, you know. Not like I want to go down this rabbit hole, because if I do, I start freaking out. And I'm like, I need to just go to a farm and not look at my phone and, you know, yes. Just raise here on the old frontier, like in the Midwest or something. And, like, you know, fucking raise animals and shit. I don't know. I start thinking crazy shit. Online, I don't know, I guess I'd like to see just like less like photoshopping and filtering, and like I'd like the Kardashians to be open about their plastic surgery, because we deserve to know.
Yeah,
we do. They're so rich now, they sell all their products based on how they look. I'd love to know. And in terms of Bravo, I think Bravo does a good job of being Bravo. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that the two shows for New York is a good idea.
I'm excited, because I feel like that needs to start happening with every city. Because I'm also like a later into Bravo because of Claudia from The Morning Toast. She like has got me into Bravo. And so like I don't do OC and stuff. I'm like, that's like too much to catch up on. They're all really old. I don't care. And like then you came on New York. I was like, you know, I can watch this.
Oh, I love that.
No, so it worked. Like, it worked really well. But I feel like it's almost, you could say the same thing, too, about mental health. Like, looking at your perfect life on Instagram, this gorgeous pink book cover. But, like, you're being honest about all the stuff it took to got you there. And that you're not 100% perfect. And that you're allowed to change. Do you feel the pressure to, like, be what society has kind of cast you as from the show and everything, and like not change and grow in the public eye then?
No, because like I will never conform to what people think I should be. I mean, I don't think people, like I got so much hate about the conversion, like, and about talking about the conversion. Like I got hate for like being sober, like, you know, because I changed from season one to season two. It's like, if you can't accept me, like, when I'm having a rough time, then, like, you don't get to be my fan when I'm killing it.
Yeah.
So fuck off.
Did you leave this past season, like, more confident because you did it sober? Or were you still, like, just as nervous to watch it play out and everything?
No, I wasn't, like, you know, it was... it was good to be able to film sober and stuff, but I just didn't, like, I was not in a great place, like, at all. Like, I think the Lexapro actually had stopped working during that season, and I tried starting another antidepressant during filming. And I think maybe, like, I talked about it, but it didn't get picked up. Like, it would have been cool to, like, that, for that to be a storyline.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't think they wanted it to be a storyline, because they want people to be entertained, and maybe they wouldn't be entertained by my depression, you know? But, now I forgot the question. What did you just ask?
No, just, like, if you felt more confident after the second season.
Yeah. Look, I was sober for, like, 10 years before doing Roni, and I was able to do everything sober, you know? So I don't have an issue with not drinking and filming or anything like that. I mean, it's hard to see.
Yeah, I would just be excited to not have to see myself, like, blacked out. Be like, didn't do that this season, at least.
Exactly. You know, like, pretty cool.
Pretty pat on the back.
Yeah. I didn't, like, you know, try to burn anyone's backyard down. Good job, Leah.
Hey, I mean, you got to start at the bottom to end up on the top. You came in with a bang. It's what made us fall in love with you, and then we've just been rooting for you ever since.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, what's, like, the most surprising thing that people have been really connecting with chaos theory?
I think it's definitely, like, just the addiction and mental health, like, aspect. Like, I don't think people knew the extent of my drug addiction, like, as a teenager, and, like, kind of the bottom I had of, like, living in, like, a therapeutic community in a halfway house. So I really think it's the addiction aspect and, like, talking about it in a, like, more, like, detailed way.
Well, I want everyone to go read it because
Thank you, Lauren. So
good.
So appreciate
Where can
that.
Everyone shop and follow Leah?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Leah Mob. I'm not on Twitter, but maybe now that Elon owns it, I will. I'll be on it.
Fair.
And you can buy Chaos Theory. It's sold everywhere. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, like, your mom and pop independent bookstore.
She's big time, guys.
Yeah.
She's big time. Thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, make sure to go check it out.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Mood. I'm Lauren Elizabeth. You can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Elizabeth, at Mood with Lauren Elizabeth, to boost your mood throughout the week. Until next time, I will talk to you guys later. Bye.